So today we are going to be hearing from John's Gospel, John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. So I invite you to stand as you're able in honor of the reading of the Gospel passage. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And then Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I kind of wish I had the ability sometimes to time travel. Who's there with me? Who wish that sometimes in your life I could time travel? And, you know, we usually come into those moments when we have like a big decision to make, and we're just not sure which direction to go and how it's going to turn out, or we're at a major crossroads, and you're like, "Man, if I can just, you know, go get in that DeLorean and maybe go in the future a little bit and just see how this thing turns out and then come right back, you know, and now I know," or, "Hey, what if I make this simple change today and that gets the result that I want in the future?" I think most of us come to a point in time that we wish we can either travel into the future or see into the future to see how things would play out in our lives. Well, there's a story that I like to tell. It's about someone who's not well known to most of us, but I bet this individual today wish he could have seen into the future and made different choices because it would have turned out way differently for him. But Ronald Wayne, how many of you know Ronald Wayne? This is why you don't know Ronald Wayne. Let me tell you the story, because I bet he had the ability he could see into the future, okay? All right, first, Ronald was an investor. He's an entrepreneur. He liked to invest in these new projects. And so in 1971, there's this new slot machine business coming out, and this new slot machine. And so he's like, "You know what? This is where I'm going to make my fortune. I'm going to invest into the slot machine business, and I'm going to come out with a nice, you know, amount of profit in this." But like a lot of entrepreneurs, you make some good decisions, and you make some bad decisions. For poor Ronald, this was a bad decision. It did not pan out. He actually ended up in debt owning all these slot machines that nobody wanted. It was just a failure upstart. And so he was real gun-shy with his next business idea and business venture. And then in 1976, he was introduced to two guys. Both of them were named Steve, okay? One is Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs. He got introduced to these guys. They were coming up with this great idea, this great tech idea. And so he said, "You know what? I'll help you guys out. The three of us will go in together on this business venture of Apple, okay? But I'm a little risk shy because of this, so I don't want a big stake in this." And the two Steves said, "All right, fine." They said, "Each Steve will own 45% of the company each. And then here you go, Ronald, you can own 10%. And that way, if there's ever a decision that needs to be made and we disagree with each other, you can be the tiebreaker decision in this." Great. Well, after a couple of weeks, just a couple of weeks, Ronald got a little nervous, and so he decided, "You know what, I'm going to sell my 10% share of Apple," which was worth $800 at the time, and he sold it and got out of it. Only if Ronald had the time machine that we all know what Apple turns out today. Many of us probably have Apple products on you right now. I've got two on me right now. Multiple things at home, okay? Even the Android user sometimes can't get away from an Apple product every now and then, all right? But if he would have held on to his shares in Apple, he would be worth billions of dollars today. But he didn't have that crystal ball, that time machine, the ability to see in the future. And boy, I bet he wish he does now. You know, the disciples, even though Jesus tried to tell them what was going on and on and on, they just couldn't quite get it. They didn't have that crystal ball or that time machine where they can fly into post-crucifixion and see what Jesus was going to do in their lives. But here in this moment, at the end of John's gospel, they begin to see what Jesus was telling them, what they just couldn't see until the crucifixion and the resurrection happened. And so what we have here in this scene in John's gospel, this scene here is not far removed from the crucifixion. This is Easter evening that we are entering into this scene. Easter evening when you have these disciples hiding in a locked room for fear of the Jewish authorities because they just have seen their Messiah crucified. But yet, they don't know what to do. Were they next? What was going to happen? What were they afraid of? Because it says, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, this was Sunday, Easter Sunday evening, it tells you directly the doors of the house they were in were locked for fear. Fear was their emotion. Fear was their mode of operation right now. Fear is what was keeping them inside of the house behind locked doors. But remember, Jesus had already been out of the tomb. He's been pretty busy on Easter Day. We know that also, according to the John's gospel, he's seen Mary Magdalene and had an interaction with her. There were other women that were not named that saw the resurrected Jesus. The two on the road to Emmaus in Mark and Luke's gospel said Jesus came to them. He came to Peter. Now the 10, Thomas is absent, Judas is no longer, and here is Jesus. Now we know, like, Thomas, obviously, when he was not here, they didn't say that Thomas was being afraid himself. We don't know where Thomas is. I mean, he could have been getting takeout for the guys. I don't know. He just wasn't there. More than likely, Thomas has gone back to his normal life. Many of these disciples gave up their jobs. Some of them wealthy jobs. Some of them gave up families temporarily to go with Jesus on his ministry. Thomas may have just gone back to work, gone back to the family. We don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is that there are 10 disciples hiding in this room, locked out of fear. Jesus have already made his appearance to many people on this day. And then when he came and showed these disciples his body, he said, look, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And he showed them his hands. He showed them his side to say, look, this is where they pierced me. This is not an imposter, but this is Jesus. This is me. And when they saw the Lord, they rejoiced. They rejoiced. And he said, peace be with you again. As the Father has sent me, now you will go. I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. In this moment, I love the graphic on your Connect card that came in, because it's this moment where Jesus enters this locker room, says, peace be with you, calms them, shows them that it's really him, and then he breathes on them. And see, that brings so much connection to when God breathed life into Adam and Eve. He breathed life into the dry bones. And here he's breathing the Holy Spirit onto the disciples. This is John's version of, like, the Pentecost story, okay? This is where the disciples receive the Holy Spirit according to John. And he breathes on them and says, now I send you. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was one of those 10 guys hanging out there, I would be on fire. I'd be ready to hit the door and tell the world, I don't care what they do to me. My Savior's resurrected. I've got the Holy Spirit. Now I go, and I've got to tell the good news. But still, what about Thomas? Thomas wasn't there for that moment. So, of course, his buddies, his disciples, we got to go find Thomas. We have got to go tell him what just happened. And so they went and they find Thomas. But he said to them, after they proclaimed the good news of what has been happening, he said, you know what? Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of those nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. It's like our children's moment on Believe It or Not, Ripley's Believe It or Not. You're not going to believe it until you see it. And that's a lot of things for us in our faith. We are not going to have faith until we see it. That's just our human nature. But think about this, though. Because verse 26, after they went and found Thomas wherever he was, this is prior why Thomas was kind of doubtful. Verse 26 says, a week later, his disciples were again in the house. Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. What were they doing? Why were they back in the house after all of that with the doors shut? After a week, did they forget what they just witnessed and seen? Did they still not get it? Did they not receive the Holy Spirit? What were they doing in the house with the doors still shut? If I was Thomas and I had my buddies who claims to see a dead man back to life, but yet they haven't changed their actions at all, I wouldn't believe them either. You're not acting any differently. You're not going out and doing things. You're back in the same house with the door shut. I've got to see this, guys. I'm sorry. I love you. I want to believe you. But I got to see this. I got to touch these wounds before I believe. Natural reaction. Now, because of this, Thomas gets the title of Doubting Thomas, but we forget on how faithful he is. The references in Scripture of Thomas have been of faithfulness, of charging forward and going with Jesus and dying with Jesus. Now he gets this claim to be Doubting Thomas. So I was like, no, he's probably realistic. It's like, okay, guys, show me. Show me, because y'all aren't acting any different because you're back in the same house with the door shut. Okay, so something's up here. And so, as we know, because we can see the story ahead of them, in the same house with the door shut, now there are 11 of them, and it appears Jesus, there he is. And there again he says, peace be with you. And because Jesus knows us, he knows what gives us troubles, he knows us, he knows what pains us. And so in this moment, he knows that Thomas needed to see. And also Thomas said he needed to touch in order to know the resurrection is true. And so Jesus, here he goes to Thomas and says, here, put your finger, see my hands. Reach out your hand, put it here in my side where they pierced me. Come on, you needed this, here it is. But what it tells you next, it doesn't tell you, and we don't officially know, even though there's beautiful artwork pieces of Jesus and Thomas sticking his hands in the wounds, it doesn't say he actually did that after Jesus said it. It says that Thomas's action was he answered him. Maybe that was it. That was all that he needed. And not only did he answered him boldly with my Lord and my God. Terms of understanding that this has to come from God, that Jesus is Lord. He's just not some average rabbi that was crucified and where people abandoned him because he didn't lead the rebellion that they thought he was going to lead. Thomas, in that moment, that's all that he needed to have the faith and make the proclamation of my Lord and my God. That's pretty amazing. That's why I like Thomas to be faithful Thomas. He has faith. He has faith. That's all that he had. And so in this moment, in this scene right here, a week after the resurrection, Jesus comes and meets us and provides us the grace and mercy that we don't deserve. That he provides us the forgiveness that we don't deserve. But because of his amazing love, he provides it freely. provides it freely. And then Jesus said to Thomas, have you believed because you've seen me? And this is one of those moments where the camera should turn to us when we're reading and Jesus is talking to us. Blessed are those who have not seen, they have come to believe. I don't know about you, in my faith journey, it would have made it real easy from the get-go when I accepted Jesus and did the whole confirmation thing and got baptized and all that, that Jesus was there and I could be like, oh, here he is. He's talking directly. This makes it real easy now. I saw him. I'm good. I hadn't had one of those moments yet where I've actually seen Jesus where I can touch him like Thomas could, but I believe. And I see God in various parts of my life. There are things that have happened to me that cannot be explained, that only that explained that it comes from. That's never meant to be easy. And Jesus is telling us, look, blessed are you who don't have the benefit of these guys, but yet you believe. This moment as John's gospel ends, this scene with Thomas is how it's chosen to finish with us. It's the climax of this scene where Thomas was not present and said, guys, I don't believe you till I see it. Then he sees and he commits fully. And then Jesus tells us, blessed are you who have not yet seen but believe. Because it says here in verse 30 that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you have life in his name. It's just in this moment with Thomas and the disciples that John's gospel says, guess what? Now that you believe, now that you know, don't go in a room with the door shut. Don't go and live out your faith. Go. You have the Holy Spirit. Go and live out your faith. The Holy Spirit will guide you in what to do. Don't stress about what to do. The Holy Spirit is there to navigate with you through this faith journey of yours. It's been given to the disciples. It's been given to us. And so as we in worship today with this scene of Thomas, I love that it also lines up that we go into a service of Holy Communion. Because in this moment of communion, there are many things that I think we can pull from this story of Thomas, and it's also being pulled in this moment here. First, Jesus' sacrifice and offering was for everybody. He died for the whole world. And through this table is offered to anyone who's willing to receive it. This is not the church's table of St. Matthew's. It's not my table. It is Christ's table offered to all. And I think that shows us the sacrifice that Jesus made was for everyone. And in the moment of receiving communion, when you receive these elements that contain, these are vessels of his love and grace. And as we consume it, we are reunited to that. As Thomas and the disciples received grace and mercy in their moments of fear, Jesus coming to them, instead of criticizing them for hiding, he encourages them and says, peace be with you. Go, receive the Holy Spirit, and I send you now. And I think once we receive this peace, this grace, this love and mercy through communion, it gives us what we need to go out into the world and to share it.